Okay, we're holding here Perikid Aleph, I believe. It's Tzviki, you always have the right page. Yeah?
Yeah.
Perikid Aleph, good. Okay, so now he's continuing with his terms of, you know, different terms, defining them in a way that they're not, you know, giving a Kadosh Baruch Hu akshama, but Al Kolpanim, you know, as he defines them, they come up nekudas yeshiva. So yeshiva normally means sitting in a place, physical sitting. So being that when a person is active and doing stuff, he's going around and then he sits down, that's kloimish, that's when he's finished. So anything which is permanent, in other words, it's been finished and so on, that all it carries the term Yoshev. Oma biyad Yoshlaim ba mida v'kayamus, v'mayel yoyna v'ro ama v'yoshva tachteha, v'oma moishiva kasabayis inyari ma'mido mekayma. U'mizeh inyan achi nema lo v'yisparach ata Hashem lo'olam teishev, ha'yoshev v'shamay yesh v'shamayim. So the word Yoshev will mean always something which is you're there for good. You're settled there. Like the word Yoshev meaning settles. Same idea. Nitzchi Oimer Ashalo Yishtane Bifani Mafani Ashinu. That no changes. Lo Yishinu Etzem. Certainly not in the essential way. Ve'in lo shem inyan zulas atzme sheyishtane boy. Lo yishtane yachso zulasei. So Rambam adds a piece here, which is important a little bit to discuss. The Rambam says nothing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu will change in his relationship to others as well. In other words, certainly in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence, there is no change, but in his interaction with others, there is no change either. Now, he's touching on a question on an issue that has been other Rishonim ask, and let's ask it the way they ask it. If it is possible for me to, if I have Bechira, so I'm thinking tomorrow something that I had not intended to think today, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ki'ilu picks up my new thought. HaKadosh Baruch Hu picks up the new action that's happening. Just like Lahavdal Elif Alfei Avdalis, a movie camera keeps changing kefi the input of the movie camera. So why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu not changing? Why is that called not changing? That's one way it's asked the question. Over here, what does it mean he doesn't mishtana l'zulosai? Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kelen l'kames Hashem. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is olam chesed yibane. Sometimes he's a melech ha-mishpat. Sometimes he's kel shakai. What does it mean, his yach is not mishtane? It's always mishtane. So the answer is like this. Imagine you have the perfect teacher, a teacher be'etzim, the type that like you only find in Yeshiva Greater Washington type of teachers. And he walks into a classroom, and one day he's cold to the boys. Another day he's very warm. Another day he's scolding. So if it's just a reflection of his personal teva, so he's different. Today I'm in a bad mood, tomorrow I'm in a better mood, and so on. But let's say this teacher is that abstract, perfect teacher. So he's a teacher. He's there to get the boys to reach a certain nekuda. And he uses different tools to get them there. So I can't say he changed. If you define him by throwing a tantrum, then it's a change. If you define him by hugging, it's a change. But you define him by working to get they should get to whatever they need to, and he has different tools for it. There's be'etzem no change. So the yachas of Kadosh Baruch Hu to the Bria is one yachas. It changes in terms of what the Bria needs to attain whatever it is that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from them.
So
Ein bishinu kol ika. So yeshiva about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is another way of describing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yosef, and he's going to show it, we'll see in a second. Many times it says a yeshiva shemayim, yeshiva's associate HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a shemayim kisi. Why? Liyos Hashemayim him Asha Ein Shinu Bem Leischalfus. Ritzayne Loima, Shlo Yishtanu Ishem Kash Yishtanu Ishei Hoyvei Haaretz Yisrael. So the old belief, which is still true to us on the observational level, is that the celestial bodies never change whatsoever, whereas everything on earth is in constant flux. That's the way it was, you know, celestial bodies understood to be that type of, you know, super being. But today, this is still true in terms of how we see things. When a person looks up in to Shemayim, none of the beings there, none of the entities there show any change. You know, there's an orbit, but there's no changing in time. Whereas everything on this world, everything blossoms, stays and wilts and dies. So Shemayim is always a good metaphor for something that's Yoshvi. V'chein k'sheyuchas olakayas baruch hayachsahu ha'ne'mar b'shituv l'mina nimtzos ha'ivas inifsadis yomlov gamken Yoshiv. We also, when we speak about what's the right word for it? Concepts, groups. In other words, every particular cow dies and is constantly changing, either growing or falling apart or whatever. When we speak about cows in a kolalius, when we speak of the world in kolalius, that seems to stay always. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yoshev al chug ha'aretz. Hamasmid, hakayim al sibur va'aretz, ritzono loyme chalilusa. The word chalilusa here is like the Hebrew word chozer cholila, comes round again. Roymez lenyonim ahoyvim bo chalila, meaning the things that are constantly coming on. So in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's permanence in the Bria is recognized not in any individual prat, because any individual prat is not a kayam and not nitzri, but from the general flow of the bria. So a yoshev al chug ha'aretz means a kadosh baruch Hu is the force of permanence in the earth. This is, as a side point, when we deal with inyanim, when we look for pathways to be mechazik emuna, so complexity of the Bria is one element. There's another element of the Bria that bears a lot of thought, and that is how consistent the Bria is. When you get to complex items, no two dogs are alike. No two flowers are alike. But all silver atoms are exactly the same. All mercury atoms are exactly the same. On this table, how much weight can you put between X and Y? What's the mass of a proton? It's down to a very, very specific number. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the constant factor in the Bria. Hashem Lamal Yosef means despite the Mabul, which was total chaos and a total inversion of the world. So Hashem Lamal Yosef means Hashem, even in the Mabul, remained totally the same. Lo yeh etzla yisborach shinui yachas. Aval yachas hu sheish lo kol echon yonam ahem v'im hoivam nifsim. So in the big picture, in the minim, that's what we speak about Hashgacha being on the min, In other words, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkachim, Minim work with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's input, whereas each individual one it goes off in its own way. So Yeshiva is the factor of permanence and immutability as you go as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Next, Perek Yud Beis.
David, can I ask you a question quickly?
Sure.
Do we define Ratzon as something that a person or something wants, right? Meaning if I'm chaser something, so I have a Ratzon to be mamala the chasaran. So I'm a tabo or a mashpia, either direction. If the Ren Shalom never changes, what does it mean that the Ren Shalom wanted to be native? If he doesn't change, if he's always in the same position, so what does that Hatava do? It's stagnant.
The other way around would be problematic. When I say I want something, so I'm defining, by definition, a lack. In other words, if I want something, then I don't have it. It's for the want of something means to have something. So neither of those definitions of Ratzon could apply to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if you were to teach it the way you've been teaching all the time, by definition, if I want something, it means I don't have it, but I would like to have it. So how do we define the word Ratzon when we use it as you got in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is as follows. If I see somebody doing something, this person is engaged in trying to get a big loan from the bank. Why does he want to get a big loan from the bank? Because he needs to buy a building. Why does he want to buy a building? Because this building will allow him to raise the entire block and put up magnificent high-rises. Why does he want to do that? Because he wants to earn a lot of money. Why does he want a lot of money? Because he likes to feel wealthy. Why does he like to feel wealthy? Because that's kacha. That's the so when I identify a point in a person's motivation that cannot be traced back to a point before that, I can't understand it as a means for something else. But this is the etzem metzias. I call that the rutz. The kochas ha-nefesh. So that first thing that I want to be rich is a rutz. Now, a different person might want to be rich because he wants to be able to buy boats and airplanes. He likes boats and airplanes, and rich like a timtza for that. So, but then when I get to why does he like boats and airplanes, the answer is also a resounding kacha. So anytime you get to a bedrock point, we call that ratzon. There's a Chabad vertel. It's very cute, very sharp vertel. They ask, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? And the answer is, it says, "Evil odir betachtonim." HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a taiva, wanted, craved a dwelling place in tachtonim. Unaf ken taivas feknish kashas, and you don't ask any kashas on taivas. Taivas doesn't have a why. So in other words, the fact that it's described in Chazal as eviloi, eviloi means my basic craving. So muscle. Let's say eating food. Sometimes I crave the food. Sometimes it's a way to get my mind off my difficulties. It's a way to stop me being nervous. In other words, the bottom point of motive is called ratzon, and it's defined more by what it's not. It means I cannot go to a more primary factor. So that, in that sense, it's like a Baruch Hu. So okay. Very good base. Kima, Shemishtatev. It has different meanings, parallel meanings. Ve'echem yonav, Hakima Shenga Yeshiva. One is physically rising for your place. For like Kamla Zamenu. Oboy oid inyan kiyam adava v'mitasoi. The word kiyam also means like kiyam shtaris, which is a Gemara lashon. It means to keep what you've promised. Vayokim ste Ephraim, it became finalized. Vekoma bayis shabair, vekoma biyotchem achs Yisrael. Ubazeh ha'inyan nemar kol ha'shakim ha'shavolika yisparach. Ato okum, yim Hashem, yirtzeboy ata kayim dvarim v'yudot evra. I will now fulfill whatever what I said should be good or bad. Ato tokum terachem tzion, tekayim mashi arato bo l'rachem olam. Now, I'd like to talk about this meaning, and then he has a second meaning after that. You know, for Bas of Adam, it makes sense. L'mashal, I'm having a campaign for something. I call up a bunch of people. I get lots and lots of pledges. Now, the next round is to try to collect the pledges and try to get people to make good on the pledges. The reason why we have a two-stage enterprise, because people are humans, they either don't have money right away, or they're not eager to depart with it right away, and therefore, there's another stage, be Mekayim, what I promised. What does it mean by Kadosh Baruch Hu? Why is Kadosh Baruch Hu always promising? Why is he always giving head checks? You know, it's not just a mikra once. He says kima by Kadosh Baruch Hu means to be mekayim dvarav. What does that mean? Which really segues to a bigger topic. You find v'yivasalon psuras tevis. Why do you want psura first? Do it. I mean, you know, Yishon say on navi and be goyelos. I mean, that we've had enough rebbes or mevasa that Mashiach is coming, you know, for the last millennia. It doesn't need another psura. so why not, you know, do? And the answer is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu works in stages. There's the chelik of like chachma. In other words, things have a metzias as a plan. And there's a makom for us to do tshuva. There's a makom for us to help. There's a makom for it to be a trial period, and then it might come out differently. It's given to us in two stages. There's haftacha, which means it exists as a plan, doesn't exist in metzias yet, and then it comes down to us as metzias. And like it says the Moshe, the Ramban, that before Navi does a maisa, things could be niskayim differently. They could take on different meanings. It is the darker Kadosh Baruch Hu that Hashpov Kadosh Baruch Hu is mishtalshel. It comes down on many levels, from the abstract to the concrete realization. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu's words have the maisa and the kiyum shabayim. Umipnei shamaskim asav yisrael l'asas bikima, nema kol mishis oirer, Leize inyan shu kam ki hakim bnias abdiolai. Now he says, "Vehu shal ze inyan la avor gzeiras akel al amshes chayv einish labdo." And this has been this same term is used as punishment for those that deserve punishment. Vekamtel beis yiravam, vekamal beis mireyim. Ve'evshu shi amroi ata okum ze inyan. So akum could mean, he doesn't say those words clearly, but like nekama. Whenever he's getting up against the sinim, he calls it nekama. V'chein tokum terachim tzion could mean kloima tokum aleveha. So we could be using the word tokum over here in a sense of peronius on Rishayim, which I would translate as nekama. I want to explain this a little bit also about the musig of nekama. I think it's important in this context of kum. Nekama is something that is an incredible tzorach hanefesh. Ramban says, you come out after the Ramchal says, you have to be kemar malach not to take nekama. You know, Sunday I asked you to borrow your car and you said, I'm sorry, but I don't lend out my car. Tuesday, you come to me and buy the car. So what am I supposed to do? I mean, it's against every grain in our body to give him the car. So nekama is an extraordinarily deep-seated reaction. Why? What is it about nekama that makes it so important to us? So let's understand something. Whenever somebody does us wrong, somebody gives us a patch, two things happen. First of all, this is the physical patch, it hurts. The second thing is, he put me down. He made me into a fool, an idiot, a weakling, embarrassed me, humiliated me. He is now a step ahead of me. He's the big shot, and he was able to smack me. And certainly if the person embarrassed me in other ways, which are, not physical, it's the pshat. Two things. So, Lamasha, if you don't want to give me your car on Sunday, besides I need a car and you're not giving it to me, it's the pshat, I'm not worthy of getting the car. I'm sure if somebody more important than me would ask for a car, I'd get it. I thought that I had a friend in you, and I thought that it would be a no-brainer to give me the car. B'chulu, b'chulu, b'chulu. So you have put me down. In the tzura of, what's the right word for it? In the relationship, whoever's standing tall is on top. Yolechenu komemius latzenu. In even colloquial language, we talk about standing upright and facing, the person down or whatever it is, however you want to call it. And the person who prostrates himself, who is kilu, lying down, bowing, etc., is a nep. He's down. Whenever somebody, so, in order for me to change it, when I take revenge, and I told you, aha, now I'm not giving you the car, I'm bouncing back up to my normal position. It's like those dolls, those bobbing dolls. I don't know what they call them. I don't know if they still have them. We probably have an app for it. But those dolls that you push them down and then they jump up like a policeman. They have there's lead on the bottom, something like that. So when I'm down, when you put me down, and now when I'm able to get revenge on you, I got back at you. There's an old Yiddish story, joke that describes a situation like that. That one guy bet another guy $100 that he wouldn't swallow a live frog. Okay, swallowing a live frog is a pretty yucky thing, but $100. Kids, he closed his eyes and his nose, and he swallowed the frog down. And now they got to pay $100, and he felt like an idiot. I mean, I gave him $100 for what? What did I get out of it? So he pays him $100, and then he says, you're not fair if you don't give me a chance the same way also to win $100 swallowing a frog. I said, okay, fair is fair. The kid, he holds his nose and closes his eyes, and he swallows the frog. So he gives back the $100. So Chacham Echav was looking at this. He said, so tachlis, nobody gained anything, but they both have live frogs in their stomach. In other words, at the end of the day, there's no revach in either way, or tachlis they both. So kima, that's how nekama applies like a scroll. Kel nekama Hashem is a very important midah. Chazal say there's two midas that have two shemis, one in front, one afterwards. Kel Deyas Hashem, Kel Nekamas Hashem. Kel Nekamas Hashem is whenever Umos Olam do harm to Klal Yisrael, they're harming Klal Yisrael, that's a nezik, and they're also making a statement, Chas V'Shalom, L'Stim L'Stayim. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes them, it snaps back, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is back again as the Melech Malchim Lachim. Kloima, Tokma Ve'er, Umezen Yembo Psukim Harbe, Loishesh Lakima Yeshiva Chila Mehem. It's not like HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits or stands or gets up. Omra Shalom, Ein Lemaila Lo Yeshiva V'la Amida, Ki Omad Yavi Pomim Binyan Kam. So Al Kapanim, it's all talking about the things we said before. Either HaKadosh Baruch Hu is inspired to do something, either he's been kayim that which he said he would do, or he takes revenge for the Shoyim, and that's also called Kima.